Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And if you haven't heard her on Miracles Happen before, I want to introduce to you the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear Joanna Cherry.
Hey, Iris.
Hi. Of Ascension Mastery International and Sacred Images and... You've just given so much for the upliftment of all life, Joanna, with your books and with your website and with your teaching and just the way you are in the world.
Oh, thank you, Iris.
Thank you so much from all of us.
Yeah.
And even for those who don't realize they're being blessed by your radiation and your commitment to the light.
Thank you.
Thank you. tell a little bit more about yourself and what you do, Joanna, and then let's talk about honesty and love and relationships. So important. the mainstay of the happiness of every individual.
Yeah, well, for each of us, that really is. The truth of it is tuning into our own spirit, to our own divinity, and I do that, you know, virtually every day, and just ask my spirit for assistance in moving forward with the things that have troubled me or that I felt limited by, and to lift those limitations off of my consciousness. So that I can really expand into all that I am, which is God is God for each one of us. God is God, and all of us that are tuning into our spirits are serving the world wonderfully. So I try to do that, and I spend a good amount of time in my office where I'm actually talking from today, where I have the sacred images, beautiful pictures that are laminated of the Christian, Jesus and Mary, the Buddhist, Buddha and the Dalai Lama, and Kuan Yin, and many others, the Tibetan Buddhist pictures, and Hindu pictures of the deities there, Krishna, and Radha, and Lakshmi, and Ganesha, and many others there. So we try to carry, you know, representatives of the true spiritual faiths. We have some Sufi, we have some Native American. We just honor all faiths and include the pictures that we can get that are beautiful for each one. And I have books, I've done two books, and there's a bunch of CD sets, and so there's a lot going on with this beautiful company.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And I was thinking, what a perfect place to do the radio show from. I imagine you're sitting at your desk and you're looking at that beautiful view of Mount Shasta right in front of you.
Well, I'm actually sitting on the sofa and I can't quite see the mountain, but I can see out the window
over
the base of the mountain. But I do have all the pictures of the masters just beaming at me here.
Yes, and it's such a feeling in your office. It's
yeah.
Such a feeling.
Yeah, it is.
It's quite wonderful. Well, let's talk about our subject, honesty and love in relationships.
Yeah, it's almost like this has seemed to be an oxymoron for a lot of people. It's like, because there's a lot of things in each of us that relationships bring up. I think Sandra Ray said that love brings up everything unlike itself to be healed and to be cleared. And relationships are particularly good at that. they are a particularly intense school for seeing what our buttons are, what our limitations of thought and mind are, and feelings, and so things usually come up in relationships that are not easy for us to handle or to look at. And so there, a lot of times, most of the time, in fact, we are used to projecting difficulties onto other people and then blaming them instead of looking deeply into ourselves and clearing our own, you know, limited thoughts and feelings about relationships and about the opposite sex or about our partner or whatever we notice.
Well, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, I just wanted to finish that one thought that,
okay.
So it's really, for a lot of us, honesty would mean saying, you so-and-so, you did this, you did that, you know. But this is, we're really talking about a deeper level of honesty if we can get to it. And that is really seeing what it is we're feeling and learning how to speak with responsibility. I take responsibility for feeling this very weird way or feeling really angry or really scared or really guilty or whatever it is I'm feeling. And I just need to share it with you to ask for your help in moving past this and going from there, and then also inviting that to come from the other person.
Well, you know, I remember being in a place where it would be like I would do everything to get the person not to do that because it would make me feel a certain way that I had no permission to feel.
Right.
It's like, don't do that because it makes me feel this way.
Oh, yeah.
That's instead of confronting it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and you know, I remember that was before I didn't have the tools to confront it.
Uh-huh.
I had never seen anybody confront it.
Yeah, and I think that's another complication with this whole question of honesty and love combined, is that hardly any of us have had parents or grandparents who are able to do this. Most of the time, things have been sat on, they've been oppressed, they've been, you know, hidden from the other person, but there they sort of build up and build up and build up until a lot of times it results in divorce because things just haven't been able to be cleared, you know?
Yeah.
So
well,
it is a great skill, and it's really sort of coming forth in this last 20-30 years, how to be really different in relationships, and it's a great blessing. There's some wonderful teachers about this.
Yeah, and it's a long way from Lucy. You got a lot of splaining to do.
Yeah, it sure is.
You know, we grew up with that on TV, that there wouldn't have been a premise or a show at all unless somebody lied in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And somebody hid and somebody connived and manipulated, and same with like Donna Reed.
Yeah.
You
and
know,
I remember really early my mother, and she was not any better at this than anybody else, but she said about soap operas, they just tell lies all the time.
Well, you know, I think that there has been also a premise or a belief, kind of a deadening sort of core issue belief that you give yourself away when you commit yourself to a relationship, that you have to become less or concede your being you know, that word compromise comes up all the time instead of how can we both win in this relationship.
Yeah, I've certainly had that. I've just noticed it when I'm really attracted to a man that that something kicks in that it's like a knee jerk. It's like now I'm supposed to put on a facade. Now I'm supposed to not give my true thoughts or feelings or opinions. I'm supposed to be sort of a cipher, you know, and I've really, really worked to overcome this. And I think it is especially difficult for women in a society where men have generally been more valued than women, which is another huge mistake that our society makes. So I think it's a special challenge for a woman to really keep herself intact and in integrity and in honesty and communication when she's in relationship with a guy.
Well, you know, for me, when I met my husband, and I met him very young, is that I thought that he was going to require entertaining and that I had to be different every day.
Oh.
And I had all these personas. And, I mean, they had wigs, they had eyelashes, they had different clothes. You know, I got up in the morning before he did and put on my makeup, and I never wanted him to see how I looked in the morning, and which is pretty bad.
Even when you were 19?
Yes.
That's hard to believe.
Yes. I had the ability to look about 105 in the morning. Haggard, horrid. And or else I hid under the covers till he left. And I remember this time about 2 years into our marriage where I said to myself, if I keep this up, I will die.
Wow.
I will die if I keep this up. I have got to start being myself in the relationship. And I dropped all of it at once. All the acts, all the extra clothes, all the eyelashes, all the everything. And then I got really pissed off because he seemed not to notice. I mean, really pissed off.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I was meditating on it one day, and I was asking God, you know, what shall I do about my marriage? And it was this most, amused, giggling sort of answer that said, you know, he always saw you. He always loved you. You're what matters to him. He just thought you wanted to do that stuff, and now it's gone, and he adores you as you are.
Oh, isn't that great?
But it took so much effort. It took so much effort to be not myself.
Uh-huh.
And I was pissed because he didn't care.
Uh-huh. And it takes a huge amount of effort for any of us to be not ourselves.
Yes, it does.
Huge.
Yes, it does.
And it's a very sad thing that any of us thinks that we have to be, that we don't feel worthy and fine just being who we are.
Yep. And it's encouraged. It's encouraged in the society. It's just encouraged to deny yourself and to say, you know, see, I think it's partly because we've forgotten that the purpose of invalidation is to sell stuff.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's like if I tell you you're unacceptable with those wrinkles,
uh-huh,
but we can fix that for 4 payments of $19.95.
Right, right.
And make you acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like people are just bombarded with that all the time.
Well, we are. I mean, especially people that watch TV all the time. I watch TV some of the times, but I mute the ads and I don't even look at the screen. I can just tell by how fast the images change out of the corner of my eye that it's still ads. it's true, and I guess it must be true in just about all societies now that the advertising gives that message. You're not okay as you are. So we do have that to overcome as well.
Yeah. What happened to come as you are?
Yeah.
Come as you are. There's something else that I think has been a real, and it has to do with giving yourself away again in a relationship, which is, you know, I was always, I loved my husband so much, and I delighted so much in our relationship and the way it was. And whenever I was going to make a big leap, whenever I was going to change, I always went through this fear that I would lose him because I would no longer be the way I was.
Uh-huh.
And what I've done with other people is I've had a lot of people around me insist that I couldn't change, and that I wasn't allowed to. It was like, this is the way you are. Stay in this box. And I've had to leave those relationships.
Huh.
Have you had some of those?
I can't say that I have. One of the blessings of both of my parents is that they did encourage me and my sister to do what we wanted to do and to be very open-minded and adventurous. And so I didn't receive that message the way you did, and that's been a blessing for me.
Well,
but I know a lot of people do.
Well, a lot of it was about religion. This is what you believe. This is what you will do. This is the church you will go to. And I wanted to find my own experience of God.
Mm-hmm.
What is
mm-hmm.
God? And I wanted to truly know God. I didn't want to know somebody else's experience of God.
Mm-hmm.
So back to honesty and love and relationships with my husband is that I found that I would fear and dread telling him that things were a different way with me, that I was thinking different thoughts than I had been about some things, that I wanted different things, and then or that I apologized for something. I remember I saved up for quite a while because I realized that I spent $400 a month on Estee Lauder.
Wow.
And it was my big confession.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I told him, and he was like, so? Is that what you want?
Uh-huh.
But I found that in telling the truth, just telling the truth about everything so it could be, and what else, and what else, and what else, that gave him so much more space to be himself and tell the truth. And that we would have a big telling the truth marathon, like, and then our relationship would come to a whole new level that was sweeter and more beautiful and more more divine and had more space for both of us and was empowering.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage people, if you're afraid of telling the truth, just go for it.
Yeah, I remember Werner Erhard, the old days of Est, one of the things that he would say, or his trainers would say, is that after you've said everything, what's left is I love you.
So. Well, there's also that telling the things that aren't the truth. I wondered why I saw this movie last night. It really ticked me off. It was, remember how I hated the Titanic movie?
Yeah.
and it was DiCaprio.
One night of love and then disaster.
Yeah.
Or separation. So many movies have that in there.
Yes, and people eat it up. And I have never gotten that. And I saw the reason last night. It's this movie called Revolutionary Road, and it's DiCaprio and Winslet. And it's,
right.
If they had gotten to be together,
and that's what happened.
Yes, it was like, if you can't be the example, be an extreme warning. So they're having this horrendous fight, and she says to him, you aren't any kind of a man, or something like that. You have no idea how what a man is. And I just thought, that is so dirty. It is so low down.
Yeah.
She didn't tell the truth there once. She didn't say, this is the way I'm feeling, and this is my reaction to what you're doing. And, I mean, she could have done 1,000 things there.
Yeah.
That would have opened it up.
That's right. I know that some people have taught about how to fight fair, that you don't call names. That's not one of the, that's not in the fair category. You know, you don't put the other person down, and you don't recall things from the past and bring them up and rehash them and re-blame and stuff like that. And the basic thing is that we feel how we feel, and that we want to share it. And I think, like, if we really are feeling angry, then it's very helpful to look inside and to breathe with it and to really feel where we are and try and see what we're reacting to, what made us angry. And then when we get into a space where we're stable and where we're calm enough, then we can share. But to share in anger and just sort of fly off the handle usually doesn't serve very well. I mean, sometimes it does, but in fact, there is this wonderful account, it's a true account, of these two roommates, two guys, and one of them was a Zen practitioner, and the other one was a drug addict. And the Zen guy kept thinking that this was really wrong for the drug person, for the addict to really, do away with his life or just let his life account for nothing through the drugs. And but he kept, since it was Zen, and in the Zen practice, what you do is try to do is to accept things as they are. Let's accept them as they are. So he was doing that and doing that. And finally, one day, the drug guy was in a bad space, and the Zen person just flew off the handle and said, "You're ruining your life. Why don't you cut out the drugs and do something with yourself?" And so after some space, and the other person said, "You know, I didn't think anyone cared for me. My parents certainly don't care what I do, and I was planning to commit suicide. And I see that you care. You care for me, and you care what I do, and you have saved my life." And so sometimes, you know, there is a place, there is a service that anger can do. I guess, generally speaking, we can say that it's best to count to 10 before, but, you know, even the Zen guy could have counted to 10 and then spoken really honestly to the person before, or so there's all kinds of ways of doing things.
You know, I think that the bottom line thing, though, is connecting with the person, because
yeah.
I find that people are starved for real connection.
Yeah. There's so many people that are even married or have long-time love relationships that feel lonely.
Yes.
Yeah. Because so I agree with you. That's really, really the essence of it, isn't it?
I think that's why people create fights sometimes, so that they can connect.
Yeah, that could be.
But it doesn't do any good to save things up.
Yeah.
It just doesn't do any good to save things up. And you've really helped me with that because I couldn't use to say anything that was going to be received as anything less than I love you.
Oh, uh-huh.
And my big fear was that if I say that, people will feel that I don't love them.
Uh-huh.
And so you've really helped me with that, but I wanted to go back to that movie Revolutionary Road. I was
uh-huh.
going, why am I seeing this? And,
uh-huh.
And
yeah, I've been avoiding it.
Good for you. Very, very, very intelligent decision. Like the plague. Like the plague. But I feel that I saw it for a couple reasons. One is that adultery was taken as just that's the way it is.
Huh.
And I feel like there's sort of a storyline that people have that are dating kind of mainstream, which is, oh, we'll get married, we'll get a prenup, probably won't work out, but
we'll have a few on the side along the way, huh?
Yeah, lying.
Uh-huh.
And I have found for myself to never do anything that's going to involve some lying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just
too.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or and at the basis of the lies really is just a failure, if it can be called a failure or a decision, to not commit, to not really commit to a relationship. Which is really saying I don't really commit to myself, to my own self. So that, well, this is really good. I was wondering what I had to say about this because I've never really, and I'm learning so much from the things that you're saying too. So, yeah, the whole thing about loving our own selves and feeling and knowing our worth, and really our worth is our divinity, the goddesshood, the godhood. And so we deserve to have absolutely wonderful, deep, connected, honest, loving relationships that are supportive and that are trustworthy and trusted and happy. And it seems like very few of us do expect that we can have that, you know, and settle for things that are less than that and settle for not really valuing ourselves. Oh, it's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've been discussing the last few days is I think one of the fears of committing to a relationship is people feeling that they'll be diminished if it doesn't work out, that it will be their fault if it doesn't work out. And you know, people have their pictures of what it means to not work out, and I think a lot of times a divorce is, it means it really did work out. that the people were together exactly as long as they needed to be,
uh-huh.
and that they had the courage to then go on and do something else.
Well, I think that is true with a lot of relationships, but that's kind of given the opposite of what we were just talking about, that people did commit, they did give their all. I remember Emma Thompson, she and Kenneth Branagh got divorced, she said, I gave 100% to that relationship. I worked really, really hard to have it be all that it could be, you know. And so it was over, but she was much richer for the experience, and I imagine he was too, although he didn't seem, and from what he said, he didn't seem that he had committed as much as she had, although, of course, I can't say that that's true. But when two people are really giving themselves to a relationship and they find that they are no longer right for each other, then a divorce is the right thing to happen. It is the best thing for both of them. But what we were just talking about was where a commitment was never made in the first place, you know, and we're just going to have these prenups and these relationships on the side, and when we get sick of each other, then we'll just we'll move on and do another relationship and do it the same way, probably, you know.
Well, that is the lying way.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the lying way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's real hard for people to give themselves completely. I think that there's a whole lot of, you know, if not one foot in, one foot out, a whole lot of couple toes or something, you know. It's like,
yeah.
It is very scary.
It is.
It is very, very, very scary. And speaking of someone who has done that, who has given my all and then has had my dearest love pass away, it's like to give yourself that completely is to make yourself vulnerable to that kind of loss. And there's something about saying this is it that's very scary for people. I remember this story my husband told me, and he said there were these bunch of guys, and they were all married and talking about all of these hot women they were seeing on the side and telling their sexual adventures and everything. And Jerry just sat there, and then finally somebody said to him, "Well, what about you, Jerry? What are you doing?" And he said, "I have what I want." And I thought, it's a very courageous thing to say, "I have what I want."
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And it's proclaiming your power to create.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's an odd... See, what I've seen about being committed and being married for 40 years is that every day I had a choice whether to make it an ongoing, happily ever after love story or whether I wanted to do some drama and take it away. And you can do it very quickly just by the story you make up in your mind.
That's right, you can.
So talk about that some. I just feel like I've opened a whole nother can of worms here.
Yeah, well, I think it's really true that most of us like some kind of drama. And
what is that?
I don't know. I guess it's excitement in life. It makes you feel more alive a lot of times. And like you say, in some marriages, maybe it helps people to feel more connected, to have a drama, to have a fight. But I think this is really, there's something that I've been learning more and more about lately, and that is that life itself, if we are fully present, really fully present in life, then there's all of the aliveness we could possibly want. But most of us have spent most of our time in our mind, and the mind just loves to make up drama. It just loves to make up stuff. So that, you know, this person's doing that because of that reason, and that makes me so mad, you know. And so you, like you say, you can get all of your mind and your emotion believing something that is totally made up. Just totally made up. And I think that does happen a whole lot, not only in marriages and stuff, but in friendships and other things. So it's a real temptation to not just make things up and have them be true in your own mind, but to check with the other person. Are you thinking this, or did you do this because of this, or, you know, no? Oh, really?
You know what I used to say to Jerry is, when I finally got this, I used to say, you know, you did this, and then I made up this story about it that said what that meant was this. And half the time, he would just burst out laughing because it was
so silly.
It was so far from what was the actuality in his experience.
Wow.
You know, and so I think that there's a risk there in asking because people are scared to know, they're scared to think that what they made up is really true, and they're going to tell you that it's really true.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, too, of my own marriage. I was married for 7 years, but I was much less conscious about relationships than you. And I didn't know how to speak. I had just had no idea how to be honest. So this is a learning that's come more in the years following that. And we, you know, we were amicably divorced, and it was a true need for divorce because I needed to go on into spiritual things that my husband was not right for him or right for us to be partners with my doing that. But the relationship itself was, I mean, he was a very sweet man and we are still friends. And
you're friends with his wife.
Yeah. So, and her children. So,
and that's some real honesty and love in relationships.
I know very few
people that have accomplished that, Joanna.
Yeah, I guess that's really true. Although I think it does happen more and more. I'm glad. And I think the society is making lots and lots more progress in the things we're talking about today. It's like I couldn't be in another relationship without having a much higher degree of honesty. And I realized, you know, in the relationships I was in after my husband that I was not the kind of person I needed to be to have the kind of partner I wanted to have. And I had a lot to work on. I had a whole lot of things from past lives, and almost all of us have had that. I had a lot of experience of abuse from men that I hadn't healed, a lot of fear about that, and so I've been very, very deeply healing, and a lot of us, I think, need to do that before we are ready to enter into a really great relationship, that we need to look in deeply and heal deeply the things that have kept us from having that.
Yeah. Well, it's much easier to have a prenup and blame the other person when it gets uncomfortable and not look at that stuff. And I really want to encourage people to look at that stuff and ask your partner to help you.
Yeah.
Ask your partner to help you. And you know, for me, one of the keys was something that always worked, and it will melt concrete, is to, when you've had a fight, when you've said things you're sorry you said, and you've been really mad, is to go off by yourself until you see your part in it. You know, and that's what I would do. I would go off by myself until I saw my part in it, and then I would have an insight of how I looked to him. And God, it was awful sometimes. You know? or just what it had meant to him when I said certain things. And I remember this one time, it was really a turning point for me, and my mind was just making up stuff about him, and I was making him wrong, and what he did was wrong, and it wasn't good enough, and I was mad, and I put my hand on his chest, like as if to push him away. And what I felt in my hand was as if I was holding a little bird in my hand that was trembling and frightened. And that was his heart.
Wow.
And I realized his heart was in my hand.
Wow.
And I just didn't want to hurt him anymore.
Oh.
I think that people have to come to that place in themselves. And then about that time, I was working with Lisa de Longchamp, who's a master teacher, and received these guidances from Ascended Masters. And there was a several step process to do when you reached an impasse with someone.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even remember all the steps, but what I found was the important one was to say, "Will you forgive me?" Will you forgive me? And as soon as I would come back and say, "Will you forgive me for the story I've been making up and
yeah.
you know, and all of that stuff, and for creating in harmony and for creating a drama," and then we would fall into each other's arms.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's the key, is asking for forgiveness.
Well, it certainly feels like it is. Yeah.
What else, my darling?
Well, I was just thinking again about the basic fact of who we are as divine beings, as part of the divine, part of Goddess God, that we want to forgive ourselves for ever seeing ourselves as less than that, or anyone else as less than that. And so I think that's a whole lot of what the forgiveness is of humanity in general right now, that we have seen ourselves as so small. In other words, we haven't been honest with ourselves. We haven't been truthful with ourselves. We've been tuning into thoughts and beliefs that are so much less than the reality about who we are. And then kind of carrying on our relationships from that small place. Whereas if we can really come into the truth, into honesty with ourselves, that I am this totally beautiful, wondrously loved, known throughout the universe, absolutely worthy and valuable and valued being, and so is everybody else. And we are all equal, no matter what the appearances are, of race or age or weight or shape or how much money we have or anything whatsoever, that we are all divine and we are all equal. And then if we can enter our relationship with ourselves from this place of absolute honesty, and then spread that out to our relationships with others, then we're going to see heaven on earth. There's no doubt about that.
Heaven
on earth. Nationality, Palestinian, Israeli, Jordanian, Egyptian. I mean, it just doesn't matter.
We're men, brothers. Women.
Yeah, we're brothers and we're sisters. We're brothers and sisters.
Well, you know, something that's been coming up as in the last couple weeks in our work together is feeling that something that someone did could diminish us.
Yes.
And I think that's the rage in so many relationships, as feeling invalidated by what the person says, and then
yeah.
feeling that actually does diminish us, and then
yeah.
feeling less worthy to have a relationship.
Yes, I absolutely agree. We have felt that, you know, even even the most dire circumstances or relationships cannot diminish. It's impossible to diminish our worth because we're like this diamond, except even tougher than a diamond, because we are indestructible, totally invincible and eternal. And
I just have to interject that not a lot of people see themselves that way.
I know.
Duh.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's because we don't. Someone says something to us, or someone is real dismissive toward us, like, who are you, you know? Or in relationships, somebody's real mad at us and putting us down. And we feel smaller. But we have to, again, I think this is part of the self-honesty. Who am I? I am this indestructible, totally valued, wondrous, amazing being, and it's impossible for me to lose value. It's impossible for me to be less than the highest value that there is. And so, gosh, if we can really get to that place, where we truly know and feel that, and I've been working on that because this came up for me fairly recently and with an interaction with someone, and so I've been working on it every day, and it feels like it's, you know, just about to that place where I won't let that happen anymore. So I think that's a real work for all of us who want to do it, who want to really be in truth about ourselves and toward ourselves, about who we really are.
Yeah, so I really want to encourage people to look inside if you feel real angry, especially if you feel irrationally angry, if you know you're overreacting to something.
Yeah.
To look inside and to do the healing that is necessary there.
Yeah.
Because so many of us, like, I remember my husband used to get really mad at me and he'd yell. And then I'd go, well, what was it that triggered you? And he'd say, oh, that you meant this when you said that. And it wasn't what I meant at all. It wasn't what I meant at all. And I'd get a chance to look at it and see what did I mean. And then I would say, how could I say that same thing that wouldn't offend you? And it would turn out that he'd feel defensive, that he'd think that I was, when I asked for something, he would think that I was making him wrong, that he hadn't done it already, figured it out, what I wanted. So there's a lot to unravel there, and I just want to encourage people not to be afraid to just go in there.
Yeah.
To just go in and find out what's there and free yourself from those things. And one of the great tools, and I know that you use this with people continually and I use this with people continually, is the violet consuming flame.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you'd share about that and then do your way of calling it forth as a cosmic service, Joanna, because it's
okay.
So important. I think all of these things that we brought up have been something that need to be consumed.
Yeah, and just before we do that, I was noticing one other thing I'd enjoy saying, and that is, you know, with so many relationships, we've been dishonest with ourselves and each other. And something that we can do is just sit down with our friend or our partner, our wife or husband, and say...
Or ex.
Yeah, or ex, and say, you know, I think we've both been doing our best, and there's been a lot of dishonesty. I've felt afraid to be honest, and I sense maybe you have too, so why don't we form a goal with each other? Of telling the truth, but without blame, as very best we can, and see what happens with that. And I think that would open just in wondrous doors with so many relationships, just to have that simple agreement together that is made in love, and to go from there.
Well, I think I think that one of the reasons that people make divorce so dramatic and so full of strife is because they do love that other person, and that it makes it easier to leave, to be hateful to someone, than it does
to
admit that you really love them, and then hand them off to their highest good. But I think it's so important to do completion by being honest and also by telling the other person the things you really appreciate about them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is something we do around here in Mount Shasta, is that when it's somebody's birthday, everybody takes a turn sharing something they really love and appreciate about that person.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And someone mentioned to me lately there's a teacher that teaches 5 A's and she could only remember 4 of them, but those 4 of them have stuck with me in relationships. And one is accepting, one is allowing, and one is affection, and one is appreciation. So those positive forces in relationship, especially when we can speak them honestly, are really build love, build a strength of love between two people. So I love that idea. In fact, I want to call her and get the 5th A.
I want to know
see
it
what
too.
It is. Yeah, so the violet flame is just a beautiful purifying flame that the beautiful ascended master Saint Germain and the archangel Zadkiel are especially strong with in promoting and in being active in, and it clears out the false thoughts and beliefs that we have had. It clears out difficult emotions by our choosing to have them be burned up, basically, and to be dissolved, and I like to say, and give them up to spirit to be dissolved and consumed. And so we can all do those of us who are here together listening and Iris and I talking, we can all together do a violet flame for the earth, for relationships, for burning up the dishonesty in relationship to oneself and in relationship to other people. And the reasons for this dishonesty, which is basically thinking that we're less than who we are. So we call forth this beautiful violet flame now of Saint Germain and Archangel Zadkiel to come blazing through and around this wondrous earth, all throughout every country, every continent, and serving wherever it may, any person, any relationship. And we'll just do humans for now, because I did nature and all the rest of it earlier today myself, and we're working on relationships, human relationships. So we ask that this violet flame blaze through us, each of us individually, the physical, mental, and emotional levels. We see and feel this now, just blazing through everything. And we choose to release all dishonesty that we have had toward ourselves about being less than a beautiful, perfect, valued, divine, wondrous being. So we give up all thoughts about being less than that. And we extend this now to give up all thoughts that other people are less than that, that any other person is less than this true divinity and value. So we let the violet flame go through us now to clear all of these beliefs about any other person. And we bring in and clear beliefs or fears about being honest with ourselves and with others. Fear that we won't be loved anymore, we won't be accepted. You know, in our families, a lot of times there's a very conscripted way we're supposed to stay in this box, like you were saying, Iris. So that to learn how to tell the truth in our family Or if we cannot do that, if it cannot be accepted, then perhaps to move on to different places. But so letting go of dishonesty toward ourselves and others, the fear of it, the habit of it, the drama of it, the drama of creating fights, the drama of blaming other people rather than taking responsibility for how we feel and what we think, how we're making things up. So we give all of this and any other difficulty in relationship up to our divine spirit to be dissolved in love and light right now. It's given up to be dissolved in love and light right now. We feel and see this flame through our entire body and through the whole earth and through every person who accepts it now, who can use it and accept it. And that if they can't use it now, that it's in their aura to be used whenever they're ready to accept it. So we see a great clearing now of all the pain and difficulty of relationship of the past, with each and every one of us, wherever this is accepted, of every kind of relationship, and simply move into the truth of who we are, who each other is, into love, to honesty, into appreciation, into acceptance, into affection, into all the things that really support love and relationship.
Joy.
Say again?
Joy.
Yes. Joy, happiness, peace, freedom,
yes.
To be ourselves, being honestly ourselves, freedom
okay.
To be ourselves.
We're out of time.
All right.
Thank you so much for
oh,
being on.
Oh, thank you, Iris.
Joanna.
It's a great pleasure.
And I hope you'll come back soon.
Oh, thank you. I would love to.
Thank you for listening, and may all your dreams come true.
Okay.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you. That all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Amen, ah, women, ah, children, and yeehaw!